Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go. It's another Monday night. Actually, it's the first night in February. January's gone already. Time is flying fast, folks. But it's time for Paragon Radio. I'm your host, Pogoman. And here we are at a high altitude on board the Paragon Radio news satellite. A high altitude, I tell you, of 0.0167 feet above sea level. You figured that one out. And along with me, as always, my co-host. Some people say he's mad. Some people say he's a Viking. We just call him Mad Viking.
It's warm again.
Oh, my God. Those 2 days felt like it was going to take forever. They made such a big deal about Friday. It was worse here on Saturday.
Yeah.
I was like, why are you guys making a... You could have warned us about Saturday first. Holy mackerel. I went shopping Friday. I was like, it's not that bad. It was 26. Yeah, until you check the weather forecast for Friday where it's like 2 degrees before the wind chill factor. I was like, are you kidding me? And what's worse is with the wind howling, it was more horrendous.
Don't mind me.
And then, yeah. And then yesterday we had a heat wave, 40 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't believe that one. So there you go. That's the weather in New York for you. Good Lord. But I want to discuss an event from last night. I'm not talking the Pro Bowl. Although that was kind of unique, kind of fun to watch. I do want to discuss, I didn't even realize this was on last night until I saw postings about it. The Grammys were on.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I'm really glad I missed it based on what people were talking about. Pfizer were the sponsors. And basically, on the red carpet, they had, I don't know the person's name, but they had somebody transgender dressing. Basically, people were offended because it was like in red, dressing like a woman, a guy dressing like a woman, intentionally. But very flamboyantly. Okay. Then there was some music performance where they were all in red. The guy singing was in like a red suit, red top hat with devil horns on it. And it's like, oh, great. Now, I don't know how many times people said Hollywood has gone to hell. Hollywood is ruled by Satan, that whole conspiracy. But now, oh, look, the music industry is ruled by Satan as well. And they're making it very obvious. And you know what's funny about that? Some former singers that were big and they left the industry have said this, that they have these cults. Like, if you want to make it big, you have to do this and this and that. I'm like, whoa, in the industry to make it. It's like, wow, really? Okay. Okay. But we were talking about this before. The big, since we're talking about Satan, one of the big upsets of the night, Machine Gun Kelly, who I can't stand. I don't know why. I just can't. Was supposed to win with Mainstream Sellout. How apropos of a name for an album. Was supposed to win, be the odds-on favorite to win Rock Album of the Year. Like, oh, yes, he's going to win. Like, he was getting ready for his coronation. Okay. I'm not going to go through the others. It doesn't matter, right? Except, ladies and gentlemen, in this corner, the odds on, I'm going to do my domination voice. In this corner, the odds on favorite, Machine Gun Kelly. His opponent, the 74-year-old grandfather of metal, diagnosed with Parkinson's, came out and announced he's had Parkinson's for 15 years in 2020. The old geezer, the grandfather of metal, he doesn't stand a chance, does he? Ha, ha, ha. Ozzy Osbourne. Well, suddenly, Ozzy reminded everybody who he was. And the winner, patient number 9, rock album of the year, goes to Ozzy Osbourne. He unflapped his leathery wings and said, bitches. I'm not doing Ozzy's voice because I think that's insulting to do a shaky voice since he came out in 2020 and told everybody he said Parkinson's for like 15 years. The Prince of Darkness of Metal came out and just unflapped his leathery wings and said, oh, the industry's run by Satan? I'm the Prince of Darkness. Give me that Grammy. Kid, get in line. You're not ready. You aren't worthy this year. To top it off, we have the metal performance. And I'll go through this list. Ghost with their Call Me Little Sunshine. Never heard of them. Muse, who I've heard. Kill or Be Killed. Megadeth, We'll Be Back. Turnstile, Blackout. All Move Aside. Tony Iommi. And guess who? Those leathery wings were flapping again. Push Every Aside. Ozzy Osbourne with Degradation Rules. Take Best Metal Performance. So for the night, when it was almost like the music industry was saying, yes, Satan rules us, the Prince of Darkness ruled in his two categories. And that's all I want to say about that, because pretty much after those few things, it was just really, I don't give a shit about the Grammys anymore. I really don't care. I mean, there's some categories here. They had one entry. I'm looking at a lot of these things. There's one entry. Like Rock Song, Broken Horses, Brandi Carlile, Phil, who is this? Hanseroth, and Tim Hanseroth. Winner. They're the only one in the category. Rock Performance, Broken Horses by Brandi Carlile. It's like they're the only, it's like a lot of these categories, I don't know if they were saving time, but it's like, oh, Dave Chappelle won for The Closer for comedy album. Okay, that's cool. But it's like, I'm going down the list now after the, like the main 5, 6, 7, 8 of them. And it's like all these albums, I don't know if they like didn't give a damn about listing the other categories. The other, like, not nominees, but it's like the rest of these only show the winner. Oh, then they had Lifetime Achievement. Was this all from the same year?
Yeah.
No, this had to be from year past. No, there was like 8 Lifetime Achievement Awards winners last night.
I don't know.
It says here, Nirvana, they won last year, they said. Slick Rick, Nancy Wilson, Bobby McFerrin, Ma Rainey, the Supremes, oh, Dan and Nancy Wilson, okay, from Heart, they each got one. Nile Rodgers. Person of the Year, Smokey Robinson, and Berry Gordy. The only reason I know who Berry Gordy is, you know what I'm going to say, right?
Yep.
Okay, there was a movie in the 80s, a very cool kung fu movie. And his name was attached to it because he was the producer. And he demanded his name be on it. And
well,
the only
right
thing
back.
He had, all right, and the only thing he had to do with it was he was the producer. And it featured Motown music. And every day he would stop by with, oh, good Lord, his Motown clientele to see how the movie was doing. And he was like, yep, I'm producing this movie. And that was it. And then he'd leave. wasn't in the movie, had nothing to do with it, and that was it. And that was that. What does Mornikus have to say? Right, you haven't listened to it. Yeah, I didn't know he had an album out this year. I did not know he had an album out. I'm just happy he won, you know, because, like, you know, everybody else, so. But what else did you say? That said, it makes sense that it's rewarded in a mainstream media ceremony, whereas I barely read anything about it in specialized metal media. Yeah, it's, like I said, like the metal I listen to, if there's a band that's like wins, and I find out the next day, I'm shocked. I'm like, oh, I didn't know they were nominated. I'm absolutely shocked. I don't know what happened. I was looking at chat channel and disappeared. Hold on here. I'm just looking here. Yes. Yes. Way better Ozzy than MJK. I saw him in an interview one time. Like, huh? I remember one time somebody was up for metal performance and he's not even metal. It's like, how did he get put in the metal category? And they said something like, well, he has a song on his album that's kind of metal. I'm like, since when did kind of mean they could be put up in that category? Anyway, since Matt is gone and I'm kind of coughing, I thought to celebrate this, and we have a full moon here in Long Island, I would play one quick Ozzy song. And that being said, it's nothing off the new album because I don't know. So if you're a lupine in nature, join Ozzy and bark at the moon for a few moments. Way to go, Ozzy. We'll be right back. You know, I forget the song just ends like that. And I'm trying to get, and I'm trying to hit the mic button because I muted myself and it wouldn't click. Ah, that was Bark of the Moon. Were you barking? Did you howl? Play air guitar like I'm doing in both games? No? Why not? How's the matter with you? Mad is AFK for a few moments. Okay, so we're back. I'm so silly sometimes. I can't help it. Just a moment. Relax, we're getting back to things. And that's our non-superhero news of the week. And guess what I forgot to do? I forgot to check to see. Let me see if City of Titans. No. I don't get this, man. They have not done an update. I don't know what's going on with them, man. Are they slipping? They're not giving us any updates? What's up? I don't know what is going on with them, man. All right, let's see if I can find something. You would think I would have had something ready, but I didn't. I'm sorry. All right, let's go check out some superhero news, shall we? All right, hold on. Oh, just give me a minute. Okay. First up, Colin Farrell was interviewed on Friday. The Batman universe under Matt Reeves is moving full steam ahead, despite the shakeup at DC. Before the Batman part... Good Lord. Hold on. I need a drink. Damn this cough. Before the Batman Part 2 arrives in 2025, the Penguin series will air on HBO Max and serve as a bridge between the two films. Colin Farrell reprises his role as the title character, a.k.a. Oswald Oz Cobblepot. With shooting set to begin at the end of the month, Farrell confirmed the Penguin's episode count during an appearance on Variety's Award Circuit podcast. It's going to be an 8-part thing around Oz's rise to power, filling that power vacuum created when Falcone was killed, said Farrell. Matt's idea was to have the Penguin show begin about a week after the end of the Batman film, and if it works... If the trajectory is interesting and the audience goes for it, we do our jobs right. The second Penguin feature will pick up where the HBO show will end. Starring alongside Farrell will be Christine Milioti, who plays Sophia Falcone, the daughter of John Turturro's Carmine Falcone. No other cast members have been announced. Whether Robert Pattinson's Bruce Wayne or any other characters from the Batman will show up remains unknown. Lauren LeFranc, best known for her producing work on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., will serve as the showrunner, while Reeves will executive produce. Mayor of Easttown director Craig Zobel will helm the first two episodes. The Penguin will not be a member of the shared DC universe. James Gunn and Peter Safran previously announced that films or TV shows falling outside the DC universe will be categorized as DC Elseworlds. Now, these projects include The Penguin, The Batman, and Joker, Folies à Deux. I hope I said that right. The Penguin will begin filming in February 2023. Okay. There you have it. More DC news. No, that's spoiler, sorry. Let's see here. Okay. So after months of speculation, James Gunn and Peter Safran finally announced the first wave of movies and television shows to kick off the new DC Universe, dubbed Chapter One, Gods and Monsters. And that was the name of one of the movies. That was an Elseworlds type thing. Aside from the new projects revealed, the co-CEOs also addressed the status of current DC stars. Two names brought up were Ezra Miller and Gal Gadot. And Gunn recently took to his Instagram comments to clarify their future in the DCU. Gunn posted a picture of Creature Commandos, an animated monster series arriving as part of Chapter 1. In the comments, one user asked if The Flash will be a 100% reset of the DC Universe. Gunn wrote, "Nope, Flash resets many things, not all things. Some characters remain the same, some do not." Does this reset include Miller? The Flash actor continues to be the wild card of the DC Universe, which is why Gunn remains non-committal on their future, electing to go with a wait-and-see approach. Miller's controversial behavior has gotten them into legal trouble over the past year, but The Flash is done and will come out this summer. Earlier this week, Gunn and Safran claimed that Miller has made, quote-unquote, enormous progress on their mental health treatment. Okay, does the DC reset also include Gadot? In the same post, one user accused Gunn of removing Gadot and Henry Cavill from their respective roles as Wonder Woman and Superman while choosing to stay with Miller as The Flash. In response, Gunn commented, "We didn't let Gal go. Ezra's movie is already made. Henry doesn't fit what I have for Superman. Cavill returned to Superman in Black Adam, only to be removed as a character just weeks later." Gunn went on to share that the top DC brass met with Gadot weeks ago. It's unknown if Gadot will reprise her role as Diana Prince in the new DC Universe. In the meantime, Gunn has announced Paradise Lost, a prequel series that takes place on the island of Themyscira. It will be set before Diana's birth, so a cameo by Gadot seems unlikely. With this, fans may have to wait for The Flash to see if Gadot's Wonder Woman remains the same or falls victim to the reset. The Flash arrives in theaters on June 16th. Okay. And since it's coming out very, very soon, there aren't a lot of DC shows on the CW anymore. No shit. But Superman Lois is the flagship series for what used to be the Arrowverse. And while the show doesn't factor into the plans of DC Studios, co-CEOs James Gunn and Peter Safran, they appear to be bullish about the future of Superman and Lois. Via Variety, Gunn and Safran said that they expect the show to run 1 to 2 more seasons. Gunn added that it's a show everybody likes, so it's going to keep going for a little bit. If Superman Lois does go for 4 or 5 seasons, that will potentially allow the series to wrap in 2025. That would be a good timing since Gunn's Superman Legacy film is also slated to open in theaters on July 11, 2025. However, Variety notes that Gunn and Safran declined to comment on the future of Gotham Knights. That series takes place after the murder of Batman / Bruce Wayne and centers on Bruce's adoptive son, Turner Hayes. Thus far, the early fan response to Gotham Knights has been less than enthusiastic. The future of either show is also dependent on the CW's new owners, who are Nexstar Media Group. Nexstar significantly cut back on the CW's scripted fare. And aside from The Flash's final season, Superman and Lois and Gotham Knights are the last superhero shows on the network. After this season, Nexstar will decide whether to renew either series for next season. Yeah, let me see if Matt's back. I think I muted him. Matt, if you're there, I'm bringing you back on.
All right, am I back?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I was reading and I was like, oh, I should have checked. Sorry about that. Yeah, I'm just really pissed off about this, the way they're handling the CW superhero shows. I mean, we had, what, how many years? 8 years? A golden age of superhero shows. The fans loved it. The fans wanted more. And the network just said, oh, fuck you guys. And that's what they said. They didn't give a damn about the fans. So you know what? I mean, Stargirl just ended. And for some reason, my DVR deleted all the episodes. I have to watch them on the CW.com. I have to go babysit Saturday at my stepsister's house. I think as soon as I get there, I'm just going to take a quick nap, and I'm just going to sit there. Is Illumination Chambers this weekend, isn't it? Or is it next weekend?
I forget.
If it's not great, I'm just going to sit there. I think I got to episode 5. I'm just going to sit there and watch all the rest of the series until my nephew has to go to bed and then just watch the rest of it. And I'm just going to be like, you know what? Because they said once Doom Patrol is over, they're canceling that. I haven't seen the I didn't watch the Titans yet this season, and they canceled that. And you know what? They're just saying, fuck you to the fans. So you know what? And it's not Guggenheim, it's not Jeff Johns, it's the executive, the company that is doing this shit. I'm just like, you know what? Fuck you. Because that's their attitude. And I said this, you know, like to certain shows, you know, oh, well, the fans really should be disappointed if it's a crappy ending. Yes. And I've said this before and I'm saying it again. You know, like a show like Supernatural. You look at the age of the fan base, the general age. Okay, that show went 15 years, okay? Jensen Ackles, we knew something bad was going to happen to his character because the way he discussed the series finale, right? And he wasn't happy with it. And even now... why can't I remember his name? Padalecki. Sam and Dean. I'm just going to call him that. They still do Supernatural conventions together, and they're up there on stage together. And it's like they're trying to get a reboot of Supernatural. Because they said, think about it. How many times were the Winchesters killed? And how soon did they come back? Right? So he goes, trust me, we've gotten fan letters how to bring Dean back. He goes, trust me, for every letter we get, we have 10 other ways to bring him back. Like, remember I talked about how I would bring him back? It was like, that's a cool way. They say, for every cool way you fans write us, we have 20 cooler ways to bring him back. Like, well, I thought my way was pretty cool. That would make sense. Even when Shortbus was still here, he thought that was a really cool idea. So, you know, it's just one of those things. Now, will the network go with it? Maybe not in CW. Maybe be picked up by somebody else. And I guarantee you, wherever it gets picked up, that fan base is going to go. But I just think it's really ridiculous that they're just not going with it. I mean, you see the fan base these superhero shows have had. And it's not like, oh, the ratings are down. They're not down. They're picking up momentum. I mean, look at the attention Daredevil's getting about the reboot. And it is coming back. Everybody's like, when's it coming back? You know? So, if they want to do this crap, the fans will move on to another show. The fans will move to another network. There's a place for these shows, and whichever network is smart enough to grab them. Like I said, I was just disappointed that Superman Lois didn't have Supergirl back on yet, didn't have her on as a guest star. Trying to think what else. I heard that The Flash is going to have a whole bunch of guest stars from the last season. Oh, by the way, The Flash, guess what? New season comes back Wednesday night. There you go. Oh, some ad?
Yep.
So Wednesday night, 8:01, I'm putting a request in now. 8:01, Flash Gordon theme song. I'm not going to watch The Flash until your show's over, but I just think the coolest moment of that show when he's going to tackle a black hole is when Cisco has a Flash Gordon theme. He goes, "You've had that ready, haven't you?" He goes, "Tackling a black hole? I've had this ready for 3 seasons. You bet I did. We're not going to get many more moments like that. Why are you so quiet tonight?
Well, I'm trying to, you know, I told you about that thing that we got.
Yeah. I don't know what the hell's going on. We're getting like... Yeah, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, man.
Yeah. All right. Well, I finally got to the Facebook situation, and I think I may have fixed it.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, but with the news that you told me, I still got to take care of one more thing. And it's always during the show.
You can't wait till after the show?
Well, it's just, I was just on hold for so long. let's just say, you know, trying to prevent what happened to you in case that was...
I know you've been...
What the hell?
Huh.
My phone just freaked out. I have no idea. The funny thing was, it was a black screen. Now somebody's hacking my phone. What the hell?
What?
No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
Oh, okay.
I went to check on something. Oh, I swiped the wrong thing. It's like there's motion. There was a motion camera thing. I went to check and I swiped something else.
Oh.
I swiped something on Instagram. What's this? Mordecai says next week. What's next week? Things are so screwed up tonight, I tell you. I don't know what's going on. Okay, where was I? Did I say when it's coming back? I can't believe we're down to Superman and Lois and this crappy Gotham Knight show. And well, and the Flash's final season. It's like, what happened to all the shows? Didn't we have like almost like two superhero shows a night?
I didn't like that.
At least four nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
Like Monday, Tuesday, like, and I had to record them and find time to watch them all. Now it's like, where are they all?
Oh,
what happened to them all? Yeah.
While I still got time before the tomb comes out here. Well, last week we were talking about Hogwarts Legacy.
Hold on. The tome. You did.
Yeah.
The tome from the tome. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, go.
Last
yes, Hogwarts
week we talked
Legacy.
About Hogwarts Legacy. They started showing videos of, you know, the first few things that you expect to do. And excellent graphics, interactivity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever you do looks like it's going to affect the rest of the gameplay.
Okay.
Nothing short of personal reason. There should be a reason to not play this game. And when I mean personal,
right.
You know, not the
right.
Shenanigans that's been going on from what I've been reading for almost 2 years just because of an opinion of J.K. Rowling.
Right.
You know, so it's like I'm giving what I'm seeing at the moment a very big thumbs up. The official release is tomorrow. You know, people already bought. Yeah. You know, people already had, you know, when they were testing for beta.
Right.
And some of these news websites are kind of like, don't get this because you're going to be doing this. Well, now they're kind of going like, we failed. They're like, you're right.
Yeah.
What a gamer.
We got it wrong.
They want to get away from the BS of life.
Yeah.
And if it means they're going to be a play a teenager at Hogwarts, then guess what?
You're going to play a teenager at Hogwarts.
Exactly.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what my question was. Oh, do you think that this will be the final WoW killer?
I did not see other characters interacting, you know, player-to-player.
Right.
As of now, I've seen you're playing one person, you're interacting with all the other NPC students.
So it's not an MMORPG. Okay.
No, it's not.
Okay. Because the way they had it made out, I thought it was. Okay.
Now, I haven't seen that yet.
Right, because I was thinking with the popularity of Harry Potter, if they had done an MMORPG on this years ago, this would have been, quote-unquote, the WoW killer.
Well, let's see. I mean, okay. Well, this is coming from Wikipedia. Here we go. It's an upcoming action role-playing game developed by Avalanche Software, published by Warner Brothers Games under the Portkey Games label. Set in the Wizarding
mm-hmm.
World universe, based on the Harry Potter novels. Like I said, it's an action role-playing game.
Right, right.
You can choose appearance, house, and gender. You're able to customize the character's voice, body type, and add accessories such as glasses and in character creation. Level will allow the player to access and upgrade different spells, talents, and abilities. Now, here's one thing, and I don't know if this is a true story or someone just raising ire. Now, Hogwarts
mm-hmm.
Legacy is set 1990s, 100 years before the first Harry Potter movie or book or whatever you want to call it. And someone says that there is going to be a transgender character. One little problem... the sex change operation, the first one, was back around 1959.
Magic.
And, you know, if they're using a polyjuice potion, okay, that's the only way you're going to see that happen.
Right. Yes.
You know, like I said, I don't know if that article is true or just trying to raise ire. Because and the thing is, some of these people that were saying, don't buy this game, don't buy this game, they're now going after people who are playing the game and airing it on YouTube or Instagram. I'm going like, oh, for Christ's sake. Leave it alone. You lost. Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, perfect. Sylvia Green goes, I want to try the Hogwarts grain. Make sure you don't tell Twillian. They'll tell your jugular out. There is truth to that. I will say that. Probably with a spell of genitalia deleted. But it's like, like I said, I saw the first few missions. You get to, oh, Christ. Now I'm okay. I got to take this call again. Hold on. I'll be back.
You want me to mute you?
I'll mute myself.
Okay. Very good. Well, okay. And here we are again. Hello, everybody. Let me just check over here. Let's do roll call because we haven't done that yet tonight. What's going on here? My screens are all screwed up. Okay. It's over here on City of Heroes on the Excelsior server.
Okay. I'm back again.
Oh, I'm doing roll call.
Okay.
You need to jump. We're in City of Heroes on the Excelsior server, Atlas Park on the steps of City Hall. It's myself, Pokemon, Mad Viking, and good Lord, I always have trouble with his name. Wolfgang Smirganoff. Did I say that right?
Probably not.
Did I get that? Damn it, how do you say it?
Wolfgang Smirganoff.
I said Wolfgang Smirganoff. Hold on. Wolfgang Smirganoff. I said it like five times. It's got to be it. Let me know if I said it right. And that's
anyway.
Who we've got over here hanging. Anyway, that's who we've got hanging out. He'll let me know if he's listening. Mm-hmm. And over here, Champions Online in the WCOC studios. Myself, Mad Viking. Silver Egret, Mordicus, and Alan, and the Teddysons, Clarence, and Mr. Nom Nom. I got those right.
Mm-hmm. But like I said, if you want to see the game without getting it, you know, they're doing the storylines already.
From the books?
They're doing the storyline of Hogwarts Legacy, and you can see them on YouTube.
Oh.
But what I saw, I'm going like, and what's wrong with this? Seriously? I can understand if it was a whole game. Okay, yeah, I'll join you on that one. Not even close. Not even close.
I know, right? It's one or two bad seeds.
It's just that they have the biggest mouths nowadays. And seriously, it should go back. This is, you know, people going like, yeah, all you want to do is go back to these times. Well, in this case, yeah, mainly because of one thing, you're kind of blowing this out of proportion.
Yeah. Okay, these are the genres for the game. Open world, entertainment, mm-hmm. narrative.
Right.
Action role-playing game, like you said. Adventure game, yep. Fighting game. I clicked on more, and it just gave me action role-playing.
Right. But basically, you know, it's not an MMORPG. It would have been an interesting idea. Maybe they'll add it later on, you know, because, of, you know, people probably want to play Quidditch.
Right.
you know, be a DLC or something like that. But it just gets to the point where, you know, the nut jobs on Twitter that, you know, attack and attack and attack and attack. And I'm speaking from my own little experience from a couple of years ago, where I didn't even say, but all of a sudden I became the target. It's going like, no, no.
All right. Well, I'm scrolling here through their FAQ, and it is set in the 1800s, where you will learn a terrible secret if you play to the end.
So it's not a case of you know, the people that are being offended, you know. Okay, so J.K. Rowling said something. Guess what? Everyone says something. Doesn't mean they're a bad person that's trying to kill you. It's, you know, you don't want to see her opinion? Don't go on her Twitter.
Oh, it says right here, Hogwarts Legacy is a single-player experience and does not have online or co-op gameplay.
Okay, so as of now, it's just one person. There you go.
So it will not be the WoW killer.
I'm sorry if I'm gotten on my soapbox. It's just that, like I said, seeing some of these, attacking people that worked on the game, people that voiced the characters, people that were interested in the game. And all they're doing is getting attacked on Twitter, as pointed out, they'll tell your jugular out. I'm going like, not just enough already. Enough.
Yeah, exactly.
And like I said, I'm speaking because I was a victim of this. You know, it's kind of like George Carlin. You see something on TV. The TV has two wonderful things. It's called the channel changer, where you can change the channel. There's another one.
But
it's called the off button. You could turn
it
off.
Surely you jest. No way. What?
I don't jest, and don't call me Shirley.
No. Silvery Red hasn't finished the books yet. I remember I got the book. I remember when that last book came out. Oh, my God, the lines out the door at midnight. And you know what's funny? The Kmart next to Borders Books out by me.
Yep.
They had a stack of 100 of them, and we said, fuck this. And I met a friend of mine. He goes, you just got yours? He goes, guys, did you reserve? Did you pay? He goes, no, come in here. There's no line. We walked into Kmart. Got our books. They let us out at 11:45. They go, don't, if you promise not to say anything, we'll let you buy them now. You start reading, but we can't let you at the door until 12:01. Like, all right. We read the intro in chapter one. We're all standing. Six was reading your book. We all read chapter one. Go, okay, you can leave. Like, thanks. And to 7-Eleven, you got super big gulps. I'm staying up all fucking night reading. I was like, shit, this is awesome. And I was in the living room. One of my friends came by. Mom woke up at 6 a.m. and said, yeah, I'm making pancakes in like 2 minutes. She's like, really? Mm-hmm. She goes, you guys have been sitting up all night? Like, yeah, we got a books at 12:01. We got super big gulps. We're hanging out. I'm on a Diet Coke high. Are you kidding me?
The thing that I find the absolute weirdest, all right, the actor who played Harry Potter is speaking out against J.K. Rowling. Well, like, if it wasn't for...
Why?
Because of her stance.
You should be kissing her ass. Without her, you wouldn't have anything.
Also, the one for Hermione Granger, Emma Stone.
Holy
Rupert
shit.
Grint. Rupert Grint is going like, I wouldn't mind jumping in if they do another movie.
Hold
this
on.
Has to be.
Okay. Then you know what? All three of you, go back.
No. Rupert Grint. Rupert Grint doesn't mind. He don't care.
Oh, okay. Then Daniel Radcliffe. Then I got a cough drop in my mouth. That's why I'm sound playing. Daniel Radcliffe, Emma Watson. Every penny you fucking made off the money you fucking made off of the Harry Potter movies, return to J.K. Rowling's, and let's see how much money you really have now. All the offers you've gotten because of the Harry Potter movies. Let's go back in time. You two were never in the Harry Potter movies. Let's see how your life would have been.
I mean, out of the three main kids, the only one that really had movie experience was Rupert Grint. I mean, if you look at movies that was known. Now, Rupert Grint was just mainly in Britain, yes, I'll admit, you know, can't argue the fact. But he had experience.
Yes. Did you ever see the comedian who talks about J.K. Rowling's?
There's a few.
I don't know if you don't want to talk. No. He goes, J.K. Rowling's didn't write Harry Potter. J.K. Rowling's wrote Star Wars as children wizards.
There is some truth to that.
Think about this now. Harry Potter is Luke Skywalker. His parents were killed. Hold on. His parents were killed by the Dark One. He should not be named. Left to be cared for by his aunt and uncle, who don't believe in Hocus Pocus. Instead of the Jedi, it's witchcraft. Want nothing to do with that. I'm sitting there the first time going, holy shit, so far he's right. Has affections for the sister figure, Hermione. I'm like, holy shit. And you see somebody watch going, oh my God, he's right. Who she falls in love with, the comedy, what do you call that? Can't think tonight. I've had bad headaches.
Comedy relief?
Yeah, the comedy relief in this case. God
Weasley.
Damn it. Weasley. What's his first name in this one? Ron Weasley. I'm going,
yeah.
Oh my God. They use sticks, but in this case, they're not using lightsabers. They're using wands. I'm going, oh my God. He has an older figure as his mentor. Mm. In this case, instead of Obi-Wan, it's Dumbledore. I'm going, holy shit, this guy's right. Like everything he's saying.
Oh, okay. Well,
he leaves home to go learn this mystic art. I'm like, holy shit!
If I
could find the clip, I'll send it to you. But it's so funny how he just goes on about
but
it's
the,
just
the short. Oh, the short oh, version oh, is yeah. I've seen the first hour and a half of gameplay.
Okay.
It's like, you know, it's movie-like. The graphics are great.
Well, are these the cutscenes or is this the gameplay?
Gameplay and cutscenes, both.
Okay.
Well, it is well scripted. It is well acted by the voice actors. If you wanted to make a game right, this was it. This has been the wait, that people's been waiting for. Great. Once these more videos come up, I'm going to be watching them as well because, you know, I would like to also see because, you know, this could be like, you know, how some people watch people playing video games and it's almost like in movie mode.
Okay. Cool. The intern bots are floating in.
All right.
With their hoods on. They got hooded robes. Why do you have hooded robes on your robots? And
are they
carrying a pillow. What?
Are they wearing Gryffindor, Ravenclaw, Hufflepuff, and Slytherin costumes?
Well, the first four wearing the traditional brown monk things with the pillow with the tome from the tomb, and then the rest are all lined up in fours by, yes, you had to mention, yes, by Hogwarts School, yes.
Watch out for the Slytherin one.
No, what's funny is that the school, that the Hogwarts ones, they all have brooms underneath them. Why? You don't need the broom urine. They all have banners that our school rules, the others suck.
Great and you suck. Great and you suck. Weird Al
that
Yankovic
Weird Al
sports song. Yeah.
Yeah, that's sports on that. Yeah, that's sport. That's what's going through my head. Our team rules. Your team suck. All right. So. Okay. So, in the annals, be careful you say that word, the annals of history, there have been many, many really awesome supervillains. You know, the usual Dr. Doom, Red Skull, Magneto, when he's a bad guy. Mr. Sinister, let's face it, he's always a bad guy, even when he tries to be a guy. The Juggernaut, when he's on the move, can't be stopped. Why can't remember that? I can see their face. I can't remember their names.
Anyway.
Now, the ones in the swamp.
The Legion of Doom.
Thank you. Oh, my God. I'm going to something of Doom. Oh, God.
I'm going to sing the Doom song. Doom, 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 doom,
doom, doom. It's like this. I'm going to League. No, the Squad. No, the Legion. The Legion of Doom. Oh, God, it's one of those nights. The Legion of Doom.
His memory
is
going,
you.
Guys. It's going,
oh, God. Used to have headaches. The Legion of Doom. And then there are these guys. Let's just say, if I read from this book and your arch nemesis is in here, and you go, hey, that's my arch nemesis, you need an upgrade. Or you're not the hero you thought you were. These are oddball criminals.
You can take
from
it easy.
Comic book history. The Legion, over-regrettable supervillains. But first, Mad, where'd you go?
What do you mean?
You're not in COH anymore. You're not in COH.
Oh, because it's server not responding.
Yes.
Map served.
Oh, no, it was map served. That's worse. That's the greatest arch nemesis of us all. Okay. We will start with the Golden Age. Holy shit. Oh, good Lord. Okay.
We still have to top the stretching one.
I know. I don't know if this one will do. Just who? Okay. This villain is an enemy of the Boy King. Yes, the Boy King. Created by Dan Barry, debuted in Clue Comics number 2 of Hillman Periodicals, February 1943. His weaknesses: rust, magnets, and stone giants. His quote, I'm the crane, and I'll devote my life to killing you. I speak of the crane. Good Lord. Unusual heroes demand unusual opponents, which is almost certainly what Germany's high command was thinking when they first witnessed the heroic Boy King and his giant waiting across the Atlantic Ocean. Yes, Boy King and his giant waiting. Not his giant waiting. His giant was waiting across the Atlantic Ocean. But let's back up. Former regent of the postage stamp-sized nation of Swisslakia. Holy shit. Swisslakia?
It's pun ridden. It's pun ridden.
Oh, God. The Boy King commanded a titanic stone statue originally built by Nostradamus and designed to protect humanity from great evil. However, the powerful giant was awakened too late to save Swisslakia from Nazi occupation. As consolation, the Boy King commanded his giant to ferry the country's surviving population to the shores of the United States. An idle stone giant and its freedom-loving master presented a grave concern for Axie's ambitions. To this end, the Crane, Nazi agent and evil mastermind, is ordered to destroy the Boy King and assume command of the giant. Though not a giant himself, the Crane was no less visually striking than his colossal opponent, a sneering figure sporting a monocle, long black cigarette holder, and sinister pencil-thin mustache. The bald-headed villain couldn't have been more picture-perfect for a movie serial. Most remarkable were the Crane's arms. For reasons unknown, he bore twin telescoping steel limbs. That's why he's called Crane. Emboldened by his orders, the Crane outlines his plans, slipping in and out of an imperfect accent. The Boy King must die. Without him, Germany would have here in America the greatest destructive force in the world. The leaderless giant would wreck this whole nation. The Crane launches a series of salvos against the Boy King and the Giant. I'm sorry, the Boy King and the Giant. Even managing to briefly wrest control of the tremendous Titan after learning the secret to the Giant's mobility. A stone screw the size of a Chevy Nova. To be precise, embedded in the Giant's temple. His most ambitious plan was also the most visually dynamic, piloting a robot Nazi Tyrannosaurus Rex. Really, the robotic Thunder Lizard is created on the orders of Hitler himself. Though the Autobot isn't the most complex feat of engineering, this lever moves his jaws up and down and sideways, explains one of its builders. These buttons will make him jump 100 yards in one leap. Although the Tyrannosaurus Rex almost defeats the giant, the Boy King and his voluminous vassal gain the ultimate upper hand. The Crane is last witnessed vowing revenge from behind a barred window, a prison from which he apparently never escaped.
Okay.
All right. Now we go to the Silver Age. That has so much promise to it. Okay. This villain is an enemy of Piranha, or the Piranha, created by Otto Binder and Jack Sparling, debuted in Thrillorama number 2 of Harvey Comics in September 1966. Number of troops he commands? Depends if you count attack dolphins and mechanical mermaids. His quote, "Heed my mental command, Piranha. Drop your weapon. You are my prisoner." The villain, none other than Generalissimo Brainstorm. I really wish I knew how they come up with these names. Squat. All right. Squat, round, and possessed of a shiny bald noggin that resembles a large pink light bulb. Generalissimo Brainstorm compensates for a short stature with a fancy uniform and spectacular psychic powers that make him the greatest mental menace on the high seas. The only mental menace on the high seas. His opponent, the underwater superhero known as Piranha. Although superheroes are no strangers to lucky accidents, Piranha takes the stumbled into superpowers cake. While testing a revolutionary super-thin piece of transparent silicone rubber designed to extract oxygen from water, Piranha gets it stuck to his face. With a membrane permanently fused over his mouth and nose, he could breathe only when submerged in water. Luckily, he is a glass half full type of guy and decides to wage war against evil under the sea. Of course, since oceans cover most of the world's surface, it's only a matter of time before Piranha crosses paths with the submarine-born Generalissimo. He's hard to miss. The bad guy's mighty mind creates electrical brainstorms that send sparks and sizzling stars into a frenetic orbit around his extra-large forehead. They also grant him increased intelligence, telepathy, and mind control. He refers to his last power as his Crackle Command, which sounds a lot like a brand of sugary children's cereal. Appropriate, since the sound effect of brainstorms is snap, crackle, pop. Hey, wait a minute. He's going to get sued by somebody. Brainstorm employs a collection of sinister sidekicks. His head scientist, Chief Ooze, provides the services of a specially trained attack dolphin. His purpose with a deadly purpose. The human anchor, like his namesake, exhibits the powers of sinking and getting stuck in sand. Lastly, there's Murderina Mermaid. Good Lord. The most complex machine ever developed, reads her introductory caption, mainly because she's a woman. Murderina's wind-up womanly wiles come closest to preparing a Twitter-pated piranha for a fatal fall. Generalissimo's Brainstorm's second big scheme is the most delightfully insane plan ever concocted by any brain superpowered or not. First, he says, preparing to utter sentences never spoken before or since by any living being, charges will blow open the pens that harbor Gibraltar's famous pet apes. As if you didn't need all afternoon to parse the statement, he adds, then, in the confusion, the bank at its base holding worldwide funds will be raided. Just repeating that first sentence aloud would probably cause confusion enough, General. And that's all we have on him.
Okay.
I guess they never decide that's enough. Okay,
we'll
hold on
like,
a moment.
Okay, that's enough of this guy. Moving on!
Yeah. That's enough. That's all we need. That's all you need to know. Like, you can tell us how he's finally defeated? All right.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. To the modern age, I guess.
Modern age, okay.
Well, 1975. All right. So, he is an enemy of the Scorpion, created by Gabriel Levy and Jim Craig. Debuted in The Scorpion number 3 of Atlas Comics in July of 1975. He's no relation to the Golden Girls.
This is scary now.
You're doomed, Scorpion. You'll never survive the night of the Golden Führer. The villain, Golden Führer. Okay. Who is the Golden Führer? Where did he come from? And why does he have a weird golden head? These burning questions are never answered during his brief but busy existence. What we do know about the Golden Führer are his plans. Helming a neo-Nazi movement in the heart of Manhattan, this gold-plated tin tyrant seeks supernatural powers to help him conquer the world. The magical might in question comes from the forced contribution of Rabbi Raphael Akiba, previously of troubled Prague. No sooner are we introduced to him and his daughter Sarah than masked Nazi troops burst through the door. You, Rabbi Akiba of Prague, has been selected to aid our cause, explains the Golden Führer, as Sarah and her father are dragged before him. English is probably the Führer's second language. The GF, or Golden Führer, and his personal army have managed to purloin and preserve the corpses of Germany's top wartime military commanders and stack them like canned vegetables deep beneath the World Trade Center. His plan is to magically resurrect them. Well, not all of them. As you might guess from his name, Golden Führer plans to install himself as the top swastika. Who knew that the reanimation of Nazi corpses could be such a good career opportunity? Now, by the way, the Golden Fuhrer has chosen this particular sub-basement, which is to make his home base because of a unique water feature. The World Trade Center is next to America's only atomic-powered sewage-to-energy converter. What a quinkydink. That isn't the sort of thing one expects to find installed underneath a major urban landmark. But as helpful as irradiated sewage may seem, the Fuhrer faces one potential hiccup. Rabbi Akiba has no idea how to raise the dead. Instead, he activates the golem he's been secretly building in his cellar. Well, that makes sense. The mighty stone creature bolts directly to its master's location, tearing up a sizable portion of New York along the way and drawing the attention of the Scorpion, a.k.a. David Harper. The golem, under the mental command of Rabbi Akiba, does most of the clearing out of the Nazi menace. The Scorpion's primary contribution is rescuing the rabbi and his daughter. As for the Golden Fuhrer, he encounters an ignoble but fitting end. The copper-topped fiend is flung into the energy to sewage converter, unleashing what the Scorpion politely refers to as mucky water. The few neo-Nazis left milling about after the golem's rampage are drowned in the flood of human waste, which is a poetic ending for this particular type of menace, if ever there was one. And the rest of them go on to have matzo ball soup. No. That part's not there. I just made that up. Oh, good Lord. Okay. And that's this week's entries of the Legion of Regrettable Supervillains. So, we saw a theme here tonight. Bald heads and neo-Nazis.
Nah. Still got it.
All right.
Yeah.
What? Go ahead. They all can't be skin stretchers.
We sell it. Yeah. The stretching one is still in the lead.
Yeah, I know. They shouldn't have opened with that one. They should have saved that for last. I think that was the attention getter. Like, you open the first page. What? I got to buy this book.
Mordecai goes, it kind of pains me when I go to the local store and I see the entire shelves full of Harry Potter and One Piece. If that's the best-selling stuff in the nerd industry, we got something missing here. Yeah. We're missing something.
Why, Harry Potter and what?
And One Piece.
Oh, jeez.
Jeez. So, I'm just hoping now between Harry Potter and Velma, we might be seeing an end to the insanity that's been going on since Ghostbusters 2016.
No, it's just going to get worse. It's just going to get worse. You know why?
Because
the generation growing up with it who thinks it's okay, they're going to get older, and they're getting used to this.
Well, what's happening is, yes, they're getting older, and they're having to go out of college and work. And
true.
That's where reality hits them square in the face.
I don't know, because... look at people our age. So in about 10 years, 15 years, they're going to retire. And then they're going to go, okay, now we can... Remember that Velma series? I think we should make more of that.
I don't see that happening. I think it's finally... it's wearing out now. People are going, enough. If I want to watch a cartoon, if I want to see a sports game, if I want to see a movie, I just want to... play a game, or see the cartoon,
yeah.
Or see a movie. That's it.
Oh.
That's what it's going to,
okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about here. It's basically, sooner or later, people are going to go, enough. We don't want this. We didn't ask for it. Okay, you brought
right.
it to awareness. That's all you had to do. We're aware. We're done. Can we do steps to help? Not like this.
no. I'm sure everybody knows of Critical Role. There are some other shows out there I've been watching the past couple weeks. One is called Legends of Evandria. You got to check them out. There's only a few players in it. But oh my God, they are so fucking hysterical. They don't have many episodes per se, but holy shit, they are funny as all hell. They're improv actors. They have some improvisation. They play D&D, but oh my God, it's funny as all hell. I crack up the whole time. And the recent episode, they did a Snake Jazz reference.
Mm-hmm.
If you know where that's from.
Yep.
I watched it last night and went, holy shit, a Rick and Morty Snake Jazz reference. They're in the Feywild and they meet these two snakes. And it was like, and the DM's going, and one of the players starts doing the snapping their fingers. They all start doing it. And the one player's going, what the fuck is with the Snake Jazz? And I'm like, holy shit, a Rick and Morty reference. I thought that was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one. It's been out for a couple of years. They're still going. I just started watching from the beginning because they're like 25 to 35 minute clips. You can watch them. NPC D&D. But what they do is in between their videos, they would do them, I guess, how we would do D&D, like, or my group would back in the day. It's like they make comments and then they, in between, it's recorded. The things like they look at, they address the camera, and then it's like every minute or two they show them as their character's dressed and they say things out of character, like as they're like as their characters but saying things out of character.
Yep.
Like I think I mentioned this last week, it's one of those things like this, like hey, you just wait till my next action phase. I'll kick your ass when I get to roll again.
Oh, best example is when we were doing Champions Playing Champions, and you made that jump, and we were cracking the jokes that you overshot the jump just a bit there. I was like, I will get you guys when I come back.
Hey, where's he going? I'll be back in a second.
Best one is like, after you crack one of the Viper's jaws, here I come, coming like, and it's like, can I interest you in the exciting world of accounting? And you roll, I got their attention and they became accountants.
You know what would have been smart? We should have fun rolled their accounting, this accounting firm, right? Mm. So here, go join this firm. They'll let you in. And then we're going to cut the action.
But so no, I'll get you, Captain, if it's the last thing I do. you need the Gargamel voice on that one. It's going like, I'll get you sauce if it's the last thing I do.
That's
trivia note.
Who.
The voice of Gargamel was also the voice of Tigger. Look it up.
Was it? No,
yeah.
I did not know that.
Walt,
was it also
Paul
the
Winchell.
Voice of Dr. Claw? Who was
Paul
the voice
Winchell.
Of Dr. Claw?
I'm
yeah,
not
all...
Dr. Claw.
We have 90 seconds left. What I want to know is, was he the voice of the Cobra Commander?
Frank Welker.
Oh, Frank Welker was Cobra Commander. Okay.
No, Frank Welker was Dr. Claw.
Oh, no, I remember there was an episode of Transformers in the future. Mm-hmm. And this mysterious guy made him human. And he had to fight him to get him turned back. And I'm going... I'm looking at his leg, right? I'm going, that looks like Cobra Commander's leg. And why do I feel at the end you're going to find out it's Cobra Commander?
Oh, that episode.
Right?
I remember now. I remember that one.
Yes. And at the end he goes, villains. They're not made like they were in the old days. And you see the helmet, and he takes the thing out, and he goes, and he raises his fist. I'm like, say it, Cobra!
Cobra!
I'm like, yes, it was him! It was him! I knew it! It was him the whole time! That was so awesome!
Well, let's end this up here, Cobra Commander.
Yes. Yes. Yes! Yes! They never got... Those shows never got me! Ha ha! Those pussies! I'm sorry. That's something you'll never hear him say. All right. Have a great week, everybody. Those comic books. We got 10 seconds to read those comic books, read those superhero novels, watch those genre TV shows because we're running out of them. Oh, my God. Have a great week. See you next time. Say it quickly.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Man. Goodnight, Gracie. Enjoy the Greatest Generation podcast next. Embrace the dawn on Dawn Radio. We didn't make it.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right. You're doing the group. Yeah, I can't even talk. Greatest Generation podcast. All right. I will see you Wednesday. Don't forget my my request at 8:01.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's on then. All right. Good night, Wolfgang. Oh, let me say goodnight. Let me say goodnight to Wolfgang. He's in the chat.
Okay. I'll talk to you later. Hanging up.
Good night. I'm hanging up right now.